The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berusian.
Hey, welcome everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Let's call this one January 16th. How about that? Again, it was always nice having Aaron Reinglass on the show yesterday. You know what? And today we follow it up with another one of our favorites, who I'm going to have. He's going to come on after this first segment. Of course, I'm talking about our good old friend, Alan Rohrbach. You know, the man who invented the view from 30,000 feet, and it's always good to have him on. But what a day today. I got to tell you, market is doing exactly what we've been talking about. It's been spinning its wheels a little bit, trying to find direction. But how about those financials? Goldman Sachs reported, and if you noticed, that stock was up 5% today. You know, I've been saying it all along, folks, keep an eye on financials. They are going to be the big winners. Big short covering rally in Apple stock, right back up over $500 a share with a fury, if you noticed. It was up about 4.5%, 5% today, and that is one of those things that drives the rest of the market. It's one of the reasons that the NASDAQ outperformed the S&Ps today. Remember, again, it's one of the reasons it's got that two-edged sword, folks. You know, Apple weighs heavily in the indices, so even on a day where we had a mixed session, and the reason the Dow was down, let's face it, and for those that are looking at these final numbers, trying to make heads or tails of it, let's bring a little street smarts and pit smarts together here. If you took Boeing out of the equation, all right, which is the one that really weighed the Dow down, the Dow would have been higher on the day, folks, all right? So, you know, I mean, it's one of those things to keep in mind. It's really Boeing that brought that down, and we all know the story there with the Dreamliner, which is turning into the nightmare for Boeing, which really hurts me to say because they're a Chicago corporation now. You know, they're based right here a few blocks away from me as their headquarters. But I got to tell you, if those planes are not safe, I ain't getting on them. I don't know about you. But anyway, a lot going on today. We did see a couple of things come up, but I do want to talk about the home builder sentiment, which came out, is growing. Very, very good. Remember, that goes along with the story that we have been hearing all along that, you know, the home builders are coming back, that the housing problem is starting to correct itself. And with it, we saw a couple of these stories coming along. But pay attention to the commodities, which will eventually be the leaders in that story once again. It's one of the reasons copper started to make its move from the lower $3 range into, say, the 360, 365 area. Copper is a good benchmark for housing. Remember, they use a lot of copper in housing. Lumber, another one. We're starting to see that coming back a little bit. Pay attention to those hard commodities, folks. All right, those are the ones that really tell you what's going on. So, of course, we saw the big move in oil today, and a lot of that had to do with the supply disruptions. Horrible situation in Algeria, by the way. Al-Qaeda once again rearing its ugly head. You know, when will that ever end? But anyway, because of that, we saw supply disruption worries. We saw war premium, and I guess, you know, premium pumped back into the market, crude back up over $94 a barrel with WTI. Although the spread between WTI and Brent is one of those things that we have to pay attention to. That's one of those, I guess, markets that because of what's happening with the Cushing, you know, there's that big Cushing crunch, they call it. And for those that don't know what that is, Cushing, Oklahoma is where the pipelines would go to. And I guess there was just this roadblock of crude oil being stored there, coming down from North Dakota, coming down from Alberta and Canada, that just wasn't going anywhere or wasn't getting refined. And now what's happened is they've actually reversed the Seaway pipeline, I believe it is. I'll get that whole story. If I'm wrong, folks, you know what? Don't send the emails. But what they're doing essentially is making it a little easier for that oil to get down to the Gulf Coast, which, of course, is where we have our refineries. And, you know, it's never a question of there not being enough crude. Understand that there is plenty of crude out there, and you can always make and pump more if you really need. It's always the refined distillate product that people don't understand. And, you know, here I'll give you an example. Canada, our very, very good neighbor to the north, is a net exporter of crude oil, yet they are a net importer of distillates. Now, doesn't that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me, you know. I mean, but it makes sense if you think about it, you know, because again, they're producing the oil out of, you know, their oil sands. But remember where that oil is going out of those oil sands. It comes straight down into the States. They don't have the pipelines that take it to Vancouver. They're just starting that, all right, which means they're going to refine their own product. And you know what? It's a lot costlier for them to ship it to the other coast, okay, which is where, you know, they almost have it like a different country up there in Canada. You know, you got Quebec and then French-speaking Canada on one side, you know, which is very, very socialist with tariffs, internal tariffs, that is, between the provinces. And for those of you that are up there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, I got back from Calgary. There was somebody from Alberta who said to me, when are you going to take the four western provinces of Canada and just add them on to the United States? And I said, wait a second. I don't know if you want to be doing that these days. Why don't we wait until we got a leader where maybe, you know, it might jive with your views a little bit more, which leads to my next issue. And it's not really one that, I guess, drives the market all that much, but it is one that I know that plenty of you out there are watching very carefully, and that is the gun control overhaul that our president, my fellow Chicagoan, has pledged. And I, you know what? I'm not going to say too much about it, folks. You know, I am not a survivalist. You know, I am not somebody who's got a shelter in my backyard. I am from a people, though, that were disarmed and then had, you know, almost 2 million of us killed. You know what I mean? And that was the first thing they did was disarm us. So I'll say that much to you. All right. You know, but the one thing I guess that I'll say is that here in Chicago, let's make it maybe an example that hits a little closer to home. We have got the strictest gun control policies of any major metropolitan city, probably, you know, in the country. All right. And we had the highest murder rate of any major metropolitan city in the country. So I guess I'm really not going to say it other than, you know, just kind of pointing out that picture. You know, if you're going to do it, Mr. President, you better figure out how to do it right. You know, and to have a bunch of kids around you, you know, is not, look, you know what? Here, you know, it's like saying, you know, who's for cancer? Nobody is for cancer. Nobody wants to see school children killed. Nobody wants to see anybody killed. All right. But I got to tell you, there's a big difference between, you know, the safety of children in school and actually, you know, the civil rights of Americans. And we're talking about constitutional rights at that. And, you know, I know a lot of people take it real close to home. And in fact, I'll even go as far as to say that my father-in-law literally had to move out of the area because he has got an organized legal militia on his hands. So he moved to someplace that was a little bit more hospitable. I won't say where, but that's where he had to do. I just want to say that if you're a gun owner or a gun hater, it is an issue, though, that down the road has got some implications. It's got ancillary implications. And I guess I'll leave it at that, only because I worry when Big Brother rears its ugly head. And, you know, there's an elitist mentality right now. We see it. It's prevailed in our economy. All right. It's prevailed with the market mentality, which they have now substituted for an elitist market mentality. And you know what? That has taken the place of the free market mentality. So, you know, if you don't think that there are ancillary implications, get us again and think again, because there are. Let's talk about some good things. Beige Book came out today. It was solid, at least as solid as I could probably expect with, you know, a Democrat in office that doesn't have any pro-growth policies. It really came out and showed us what we are capable of doing, and that is growing moderately, even in the face of what I would consider to be, a very lackluster, you know, environment at best. Okay. I mean, look, the bottom line is this. I don't think anybody's going to argue the fact that, you know, we're living in a very difficult time for businesses to succeed. You know, I'll give you a very personal experience. I run many businesses. You know, I've been very fortunate. The good Lord has been, you know, very kind to me. But I try to be as Armenian as possible. And what I mean by that is I was always taught to be very, very entrepreneurial. So here I am trying to create as many revenue streams as possible. And this is what I was taught to do. You know, again, you diversify revenue streams. This is how any large business begins. Remember, not every large business, I mean, not every small business turns into a large business, folks, but every large business at one time, if you think about it, was a small business. It's just the way it is. So more than likely, you need an environment that fosters that small businessman, because in many cases, he is the future large businessman. See, that, if anything, is the missing element right now. You know, you hear me time and time again talk about suppressed valuation. You hear me talking about, you know, this PE and this multiple, you know, being low. And for those of you that want to know what I'm talking about, go back to yesterday's podcast. Listen to what I talked about. I spent, you know, the first segment describing the multiple, the PE, you know. And in fact, I got a couple of emails. I was surprised to hear that people didn't understand that the PE back in 08 was 150. Well, that's because earnings plummeted, if you remember correctly. So with the market where it was not a good reflection of where the market was going to be down the road. Not when earnings were basically down to zero, which is what happened. If you remember, you know, we had a seizure of the economy back then. That meant every corporation had a seizure. All right. And that seizure, folks, right, meant that the earnings story was completely changed at that time. But what I'm trying to tell you is that is not the norm. The norm is what we are experiencing now. That is moderate growth in earnings. And if you see it, and you keep hearing me say it, moderate and surprises to the upside. You know, look, these are the things that we wanted to see. You know, everybody out there always asks me, what do you look for when we enter earnings season? Well, what you're looking for, folks, are those pleasant surprises, as I like to call them. All right. Remember, with the Sarbanes-Oxley environment that was created a few years ago, every CEO out there comes out and paints a very gloomy picture. You know, it's the old cartoon. There was an old Snoopy, dog that was just very, very, very depressing with everything that he said. And that's kind of the picture and the painting that you get if you think about it. The portrait that's given to us by every major CEO. Why? Well, because of regulation that's been put in place, namely Sarbanes-Oxley, that really forces these guys, unless things are so great that they almost have to do that, because not doing it is would violate a fiduciary responsibility. But again, getting back to it, earnings, folks, are what it's all about. The numbers don't lie, or at least shouldn't lie. They lied in the case of Enron. They shouldn't lie. All right, and let's assume that they're not. Let's take that giant leap of faith together. All right, and say that SEC and FINRA are doing their jobs properly. Okay, then what I'm going to say is that part of the equation is coming in better than expected, better than Byron Wien expected. Now, if that happens and you get a situation in China starting to develop a little bit and get any stability in Europe, which, by the way, we're going to talk about after the next break here with our good friend Alan Rohrbach, then you have got the foundation for something that is really special, namely a real hard floor in the market for what could be a good solid move to the upside. All right. See, that's what I look for. You know, when people are asking me what I'm looking for out of earnings, I'm looking for stability. I'm looking for a floor or a ceiling. Remember, there are times when the market starts to get ahead of itself, in which case, if you see it reflected in the earnings, understand that you're going to see it. See, this is the fundamental view, folks. Remember, we had Aaron Reinglass on yesterday, and he was talking about incorporating the fundamental view along with the technical view. This is the fundamental view. It's one of the reasons he was bullish, one of the reasons I'm bullish, and I'm talking about it now so you understand that when we're talking about the valuation of the market, it actually is taking place in unfolding as we speak. Today's number by Goldman Sachs. The fact that you have got these financials really starting to show you that there is life, okay, is a very solid indicator. All right? And I want you to understand that, digest it, and pay attention to it, because it's the tell. You know what the tell is, folks? The tell is what gives you that little insight into what the market might be doing next. The tell for us these days are the financials reporting this week. They will tell you whether this rally has any legs to it or whether it's a bit of a head fake. Because, you know, quite frankly, you know, the market seems to go up every day, and all we see is disrespect for what is probably, what, in my mind, one of the best situations I could possibly have. That is a rally that is grinding higher in the face of non-believers with fundamentals that make sense to me. I love that. That is, for me, the perfect storm, folks. All right, we're going to take a few minutes, and then when we come back, I want to bring Alan Rohr back out, who, you know, maybe can give us a nice overall view, gives us that wonderful technical view, as did Aaron Reinglass yesterday. And by the way, they're old friends, so I like the fact that we got them on back-to-back like that. And then I want to talk a little bit about Europe. I know Alan is what I call the Europhile amongst me and my colleagues, so he knows a little bit more about what's taking place there, and maybe, just maybe, we can get a little insight out of him there. This is Jack Baruj, and don't go away. We got a lot more coming.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull & Bear Institute. Bull & Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Jack Baruj here. You know, on a day like today, where, again, the market seems to be digesting earnings, and these last couple of days, if you notice, the market has taken a deep breath. Well, the reason for that, again, is because people are sitting back and trying to digest what's going on. And you know what? There's nobody better to help us digest what's going on right now than our, my next guest. You've heard him before. He's been with us here on this show. He's actually been on Market Update with us on that CME site. And you could always go there and see me three times a week there and hopefully see Alan at least once a month, maybe once every 6 weeks or so is what they're looking for now. I'll tell you, Alan Rohrbach is who we got here. Alan, first of all, welcome.
Great to be here.
You know what? Your blog these days has been very entertaining. I got to tell you. And for those that don't read Alan's blog, it's Rohr-Bach. blog.
That's right. R-O-H-R.
R-O-H-R. Hyphen blog. Blog. And it's been, I got to tell you, it's been entertaining lately. You know, you've had, and the question is because, are you fighting the market, I guess is what I'm going to ask you to start with. And then we're going to go from there because we had your good friend Aaron Reinglass on yesterday. And, you know, you and I know you've known him. He's been one of your childhood
since
friends.
Since high school.
I know. And he is bullish. You know what? I was very surprised because I know that you and him, you know, always see the market the same way. And I know that you're still fighting this, waiting to get some confirmation. And he's looking for the run. But right. Anyway, we did talk about it. Yeah, I hope you know that your ears must have been burning. So.
Well, I know he is also very disciplined about following technicals first. As you know, I tend to try and incorporate the macro technical. And Aaron's very knowledgeable on the background, don't get me wrong. But then he goes, what are the pure price movement telling me? And I'll sit there and say, well, I'll take the price move with a grain of macro fundamental salt.
Ah,
is what it is.
Very nice.
And you brought up something very interesting about, well, you know, everything they're doing right now with the additional regulations, taxes, you know, our taxulationism. And there's an interesting point because I know you want to get to some of the technicals later, especially big movers. I mean, the equities are like a dog that's catatonic, but the tail's wagging like crazy.
It is. Really,
everything else
right.
is jumping around. The equities are sitting there like locks rotting on the beach.
Well, you know, it's only because, you know, these portfolio managers, God bless them all, are just very confused. I mean,
right.
you know, you've got people like Byron Wien out there that, you know, remember, you've got a lot of people that watch and listen to Byron Wien. He's over at Blackstone. He's got a big following. They've
sure.
got trillions of dollars, folks, that listen and pay money for this man, all right, to give him their opinion. He's telling us that we're going to see the market with $95 earnings for the S&P, a contraction in earnings, and the market go down to 1250, 1300. Whereas you have other people that are talking my game, 1650 with an expansion, maybe $107 to $110 in earnings. I guess, you know, from a macro view, how are you seeing it? Does this earnings season mean as much to you as it might to me? And more importantly, you know, if it isn't or is, what is the little focus for you?
Well, that's a very good question, Jack, because it always plays in early in the quarter, the previous quarter's earnings announcements. And, of course, those tend to be a supportive factor. We have had a little bit of positive psych coming out of December because, of course, we avoided the fiscal cliff disaster for now. And that's helped the market act very nicely. But as we have reviewed on the show last week and on the market update segment we did last Wednesday, there's a bigger technical resistance, and we'll get into deeper technicals later, but that old lead contract, March S&P future lead contract high.
The last year's high,
right,
that 14.74.50.
Last year's September high, the what I call the quantitative easing exuberance high out of as the market ran up out of August and early September, and that is 1,474.5 in the lead contract S&P future, which was still September at the time, and the March contract has to get through there for many reasons. So the market's been very good in a way, but also on all this exuberance, it's hung up around this interim 65 to 67 level. It can't even get to 75 so far. And I think part of that has to do with the market balancing out all this weak news. I mean, I have to tell you, World Bank, German economics minister.
Well, I want to talk Europe in the next segment.
Right.
Save that if you can.
All the other stuff we're seeing. You know, home builders index today not quite as good as expected.
Well, see, no, I disagree. I think that the home builders index actually, you know what, showed at least some positive momentum.
Well, it has been up, so holding steady is a form of remaining up. But the bottom line, I think, is these headwinds revolving around just what you articulated earlier about, look, we have an administration here who's finding ways to not do business. Look at Obamacare. How many medium-sized businesses now, guys who are up against that 50 limit, who have said, I'm not going to hire another employee. My business may be growing, but I'm stopping at 48.
Alan, I'll go even further. I'm going to give you a personal story here that gives you an idea of how the rest of the world views us. I am part of a group that is putting together some deals around the world. We have got people from Sydney, from you know, all over the world. So what we've said is an offshore corporation, which will eventually come home. Nothing nefarious, nothing, you know, but we cannot get an account open because we're Americans. We're not trying to get around taxes. I have no problem paying all the taxes that they want me to pay. I cannot get an offshore account open because I'm an American. I'm giving them my passport numbers. I'm giving them everything that they need. But basically what they're saying to me is that the U.S. banking laws are becoming so stringent and they are becoming so that it's not worth it to them to handle my business.
And who are the people who are thriving for all they say? We want to help small business. We want to help medium-sized business. The guys who have the legal firing power to find the loopholes and... So it's basically encouraging
the big boys
business.
Can do this. I can't do this as a small businessman, and I'm willing to pay the taxes. You know, the big boys who don't pay taxes have been able to get away with it for years.
Forget about Europe. This is what killed Japan. The overbearing bureaucracy and inability to innovate, and we're starting to stifle American innovation. But the most interesting part of that, just out of the blue, my daughter, Courtney, is active with a somewhat conservative education organization.
God bless her.
She's an event planner, and she's done some work with them. She's not necessarily as conservative as the organization, but she knows I love this stuff. Jack, that's where we ended up with the Ronald Reagan Ranch denim shirt that we took that great picture in a couple of years ago. She was out at something out at Rock Josie Ale. So all of that, fine and good. She ended up getting a Christmas gift that was a gift certificate to get stuff from their library. And I got a DVD of all things, Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. Something
great book.
That describes the background.
I had to read it by Poli-Sci Class 101. It was a required reading.
And how he came, and it's all about viewing the British structure back in the mid-18th century and saying the mercantilist tendencies of favoring certain large business, picking... national champions, favoring them against other businesses, setting up tariffs and all that. He goes, that really doesn't help the country at large, doesn't help business in general in any event. Guess what year that was published in, of all years? This is one of those coincidences of history that is so ironic. It floored me. I never realized it
what
before.
Year?
1776.
Is that right?
Isn't that wild?
That is wild. That is absolutely
so
wild.
You're founding the place that was going to be the breakaway colony that was going to show people how to do cowboy capitalism and just make it work. And where are we now? We're sinking into the morass.
Well, here, let's bring it right back down before the segment ends. You know what? I said something earlier, and I want to get your opinion. Sarbanes-Oxley, and I know that you're not an expert on, and you're not a lawyer. I don't expect you to be one, but you've noticed, as I have, that there's been this lowering of expectations.
Yes, indeed.
Do you see that,
I
too?
I agree with everything you said in the previous segment, that they have to lowball their guidance. They have no choice.
Yeah, and because of that, we end up with these pleasant surprises. And, you know, and because of it, that's one of the reasons that you always see earnings expanding.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things. All right, let's take a few minutes here, and then when we come back, let's keep Alan on here and talking a little bit about, you know, the whole European situation. You know, Alan was just alluding to what's going on in Europe. And I've got a few questions for him, and I know that a lot of you who have come to us and sent some emails to us have asked about Europe. And the real question that people are asking, and the one that we will ask Alan is, you know, is the crisis really behind us, at least the worst behind us, as these European leaders have suggested? We'll be right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before, this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the Jack B Show on a day where, you know, the market was mixed a little bit. I think, you know, NASDAQ was up because of the performance of Apple stock. But we saw, as we saw yesterday, pressure in the morning. Now, whenever I see pressure in the morning, when I wake up and I see the market lower, it usually indicates to me that the selling is coming out of the Eurozone, or it's based off of what's happening in the Eurozone, because you have algorithms that will sell global markets, even though we're sleeping here, folks. All right. If they see the European markets and the Asian markets down, they assume our markets are going to go down. So you have those algorithms selling our markets. So, Alan, what happened in Europe, I guess, over the course of these last couple of days that would bring in selling pressure from the European portfolio managers? And I guess the real question is, and I'll follow that up with the statement that I made earlier, are the European leaders right when they said that the worst is behind them, which is what I was talking about yesterday?
Well, that's a good question, but the answer is, what didn't happen?
Yeah.
I mean, when you look across what we're getting out of Europe right now, we're both Eurozone and Italian industrial production quite a bit weaker than expected. I mean, you're talking about Italy was supposed to be off like 6%, down 7.6, and down 3.5% for the Eurozone. And then you turn around today and you have new Eurozone car registrations for Europe. The EU25, even beyond the Eurozone, are like off something like whatever it was, 7.5% on the month on month, but in fact, pardon me, 16% month on month, the lowest EU new car registrations since 1995. So it wipes out like a decade and a half of economic growth in the auto sphere, and they're saying we're looking for it to be even lower this year.
Well, now, is that also a question? I mean, I guess, is that a function of demographics? Look, when I go to Europe, and I just got back.
It's a function of a lousy economy, Jack.
I got back a couple of months ago, and I'll be honest, there are more people riding bikes than I have ever seen. My daughter, who just got back from Italy, told me that and nobody she knows has a car. Everybody either takes public transportation or rides a bike, you know, or a scooter or something like that. So I guess the real question.
The numbers are still daunting.
And you've got population dwindling in these European countries. We don't see it expanding.
And you're also seeing the knock-on from the crisis is infecting Germany, where Finance Minister Rösler came out this morning and said that, well, they're downgrading their outlook for 2013 overall to only up 0.7% from what had been 1.5. Now,
this is German growth?
This is German. And that plays into, you know what? That's not just European. They're big exporters. That shows the knock-on effect from the global developed economy slowing, which is why World Bank also lowered their estimate for global growth.
Right. I saw that. Now, from what it was, at 2.9 or 3% down to 2.4, I think it was?
Yes, I think it was 2.4. But the point of all this is none of that's a crisis. Now, when Germany sits down to 0.7 for this year, they're saying we hit the wall in the fourth quarter. GDP contracted 0.7. So to say we're going to grow 0.5 this year means gradually out of the first part of the year, we're going to see second quarter flat and then maybe see things get back to normal. That's their expectation. But here's the real crisis trigger that, you know, it's kind of like the movie Poltergeist. It's back. It's the fact that the draft proposal from the European Commission this week, it was released over the weekend into Monday, has reversed the position everybody took when they rescued the equities in the euro last summer from the euro's going to dissolve, fear.
The euro breakup fear,
exactly, Jack. They took away in their draft proposal for bank bailout program the direct funding of bank bailouts to cover banks that are insolvent. So it's back on the individual countries. Well, how did they rescue it last year? Every time a bank got bad, they said, oh, no, look at how much Spanish debt's going to balloon because the government's going to have to give the bank the money to stay in business. And everyone said, no. Part of Draghi also saying, we'll do what's necessary to rescue the euro, although the ECB doesn't control this directly. This is with the European Commission. But with the European Stability Mechanism, and again, there's a draft, and they have till November to change it. They've got a broad berth.
Well, whatever happened to the pan regulator, the banking
European banking regulator?
Yeah.
Excellent question, Jack. That is also part of that same timetable. You know, the aggressive,
because that's what they need. I mean, you know, you've been saying that now for months and months and years, for that matter. I mean, and you're absolutely right. I mean, without that, they don't have a Federal Reserve.
You don't really have a currency union to speak of, because your individual countries regulating banks means there's too much play for the central bank to have banks in one country not doing something that they can stand behind, in the sense that when the bank gets in trouble, the central bank is going to extend largesse to the government. So that is a key factor, and that's something I go over. And just to repeat it again, I'm a shameless self-promoter, folks, as you all know. If you go to the Rohr blog, ROHR-blog, and you just search that, because that's not the actual internet address. But if you search that, you'll get Rohr International's blog. And in Monday's blog post, one of the things I said is Europe, and I went into chapter and verse on, is the crisis really over? And the other part of that, which we're seeing, and this plays back into our taxationism, Jack. You know what? Here we've got the tax. We certainly have the tax. We've certainly got the regulation. But I always questioned, gee, is Jack really right when he added about the protectionism? Well, when you get down to what happened with the European exchange rate, forget about what the yen's doing, although that's important. And we're getting rumblings.
Is there going to be a currency war? People are talking about a currency war.
I think you're already having it.
I tell you, you know what? This is getting to be, and that's one of the reasons we see gold doing what. I mean, there's a lot happening out there, Alan.
And exactly what you see is, so Draghi was very upbeat at last week's ECB meeting. And from down around 130, 130 and a half, which was good technical support, the euro against the dollar shot up through the mid-132s to 134. So here's the question. What good does that do for an economy in recession? How much is the euro, more than pride of country, or in this case, currency union, how much does that really amount to anything? I mean, the next resistance is around 135 area, give or take a half a buck. It's like, if it gets through 135 and a half, it's going to 140.
If they go through 135 and a half, we'll look for Germany to pull back their numbers even more, because you and I know that they had their numbers where they had them because they thought the euro was going to stay as low as it was going to stay.
You already heard it today.
Yeah, is
not
that what
just
they said?
This downgrade, no, but the eurozone finance minister said, you know, this strength of the euro is a problem.
It's a two-edged sword.
And I quickly said, I put out this little daily paper. Now we don't want to get into that right here, but I put out this little daily paper. And the article on that was there, and my note on the several articles I kind of pasted together from the things I grabbed from other resources was, hey, we talked about this on Monday. This strong euro is not good for Europe.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Let's do this, Alan. I want to take a few minutes here, and then when we come back, I want to talk about some of the numbers that came out today. Let's talk about some of the numbers that are coming out tomorrow, but more importantly, what you're looking at over the course of the next couple of weeks here, aside from earnings. Because, you know, I mean, everybody talks about earnings, but there's always that little hidden gem, I think, you know, that you try to find that other people aren't paying attention to. And I'd like to dig that up. And then on top of that, what I'd also like to do is to maybe dig around a little bit and try to find out where exactly the next move by the Fed might be. Is it something that we're going to see maybe a surprise? How about that?
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here for the hour on this Wednesday. In fact, we're not going to be doing the show tomorrow. I will not be in, and I believe we will not be doing it on Monday. It is Martin Luther King's birthday, so I will not
an
be
inauguration
with you for,
day.
An inauguration day.
We'll be glued
day.
To the TV to hear what the man has to say.
You know, it's funny.
Or we'll glue up the TV.
I lived right. We had my wife and I had an apartment right across the street from Grand Park back 4 years ago when he was inaugurated the first time. And I watched it from the apartment And I saw this throng of people, just, I mean, this amazing mass of people. And everybody kept going, Jack, why didn't you go? And I kept thinking to myself, because I didn't vote for him.
And I could watch it from a safe distance.
Well, I mean, I felt bad because people are thinking, you know, why wouldn't you go to that? And I'm thinking to myself, because I didn't want to.
Wasn't that motivated?
I don't know.
Lack of motivation.
You know, hey, we had a couple of numbers that came out today. I said yesterday when PPI came out, which came out negative, that, you know what, let's see how CPI comes out, because remember, there are two parts to that story. Well, CPI came out flat. Now, what does that mean, folks? That, number one, means that corporations have pricing power. They're able to maintain that pricing power. In fact, if anything, you're going to probably see operating margins grow wider because of it. So if producer prices are less and consumer prices stay stable, that usually means that operating margins increase. It's one of those little things that my good old mentor, Bing Sung from Harvard University, taught me, the old Harvard Endowment Fund. He would say, Jack, those are the little things. Pay attention to that. So, you know, he would slap me upside the head all the way from Boston, you know, and I'd feel it here in Chicago. And sure enough, that's exactly what I would do. I would pay attention to that. Tomorrow we have housing starts. We've got jobless claims. But what's important, and what I was getting to earlier, and I guess I'm going to leave it kind of in your hands, Alan, for the rest of this, is, number one, do you see anything that leads you to believe we might see a surprise out of the Fed at all? Because I'm starting to wonder with some of the speeches coming out, all of a sudden they're starting to put, you know, the doubt in my mind. And then number two, what are you looking for out of the market these next couple of weeks here, aside from earnings, that might be driving price action?
Well, in the first instance, I think you're right to wonder about the Fed, because we went from QE infinity to QE, well, we're not so sure.
Yeah, you know what? You know? And it happened in such an odd manner.
With the FOMC minutes.
Right. And it was,
one thing, the minutes said something else.
Which really led, I guess, for all of us Fed watchers, I mean, it led us all collectively scratching our heads.
How about the poor bond traders, the guys who figured it was still safe? But that's an interesting point about the bonds, because we're talking about the data. The one thing that really impressed me today was just the massive, massive overshoot on the TIC flows, the Treasury investment flows.
What does that mean? Explain that.
That means that the appetite for bonds, and not surprising, you see, as soon as we've been talking about how the U.S. bond market is buffered relative to Europe or the U.K., you ended up with an estimate of something like, roughly flat on the total net Treasury fund, Treasuries being bought, inflows into Treasuries. You were plus, total net TIC flows were $27.8 billion from down 56.7 last month.
So that tells you that the appetite for bonds
is
huge.
The appetite for bonds is still there. Everyone,
so that's what's going to keep us from seeing these rates skyrocket.
Well, we were talking about how the T-note seems so well buffered compared to Europe when I was on last week, that the bunds, the gilts, they take a dive, and the T-note gets to that lead contract T-note future, that's also March now, March T-note future, gets down around that 131.5, big technical level, and it's like a rock, and it's back up about a point from there, nothing big. But that's the other thing that's so important about the equities. Now, looking out into the rest of this week, what I do know, because with Europe weak and us firm but not runaway strong, I know what we've got is Friday, it's going to be all over by the time we come in. You have a whole slew of Chinese data, including GDP, industrial production, and retail sales Friday. So Friday's going to be a big day. But
those numbers are starting to get a little better for China.
China looks like it's
getting
better. You know
what? We're seeing it. In fact, you know, it goes back to what I was talking about before with the cult of personality, with the leadership. I'm a firm believer that those numbers are made for a reason.
They are manipulated in a
I didn't say manipulated.
Way. No,
I didn't
manipulated
use that word.
In the same way the U.S. Fed manipulates things, which is no Fed chairman cuts rates on the way out. He raises them. So the new guy on the way in can be a friend to the market right away. Look
what
Greenspan did into Bernanke. So it's not just the Chinese. This is a standard operating procedure in the finance area.
What are you looking for in the market here in the in our U.S. markets, both technically and you know
news-wise, there just isn't much beyond earnings, which is supportive of the market because the earnings have been pretty good. I mean, we got Michigan sentiment on Friday. But, other than that, I mean, tomorrow housing starts and building permits, you know, but those are, to me, those are always, what should I say, builder beauty contests. I mean, whatever the if the builders are happy, those go up.
How about on the technical side? Look, we've got the S&P resistance. Everybody knows it. That 1475 level that you gave. Everybody knows the 1474.50 last year's high. 1505 target area. Everybody's got. Let's forget that for a second.
Sure.
Let's talk the downside. In the event that this market
Excellent
fails,
point.
All right, where are the support levels?
Well, not even if it fails, but there's an interim level. That was the congestion that the market set up right after that 1474.50 last September. And it sold off and it kept coming back up and it stalled right around 1465 to 1467. And lo and behold, where we hung up here, not able to get to 1465. But interestingly enough, and this all sounds like, you know, very short-term stuff, but the next incremental lower level that was based a little more on historic levels is 1460 to 58. And look what's happened the last few days. So we said the market's in between 65 to 67 on the upside, and weakness comes in from Europe overnight, like you said, Jack. And then in the morning, they've got it down around 60 electronically. Yesterday, it was down around 57, 58. And when it can't get through there in our morning, it levitates again. So that's the near term, 60 to 58. But the big level we went over last week, that major gap up from the first of the year.
The other thing to keep in mind, folks, is that Friday you have expiration. That is a January expiration. I won't be with you tomorrow to remind you. It's one of those things to keep in mind, especially because being January, this is when you've got a lot of people, remember, that had a lot of option positions on going into what was a very, very debatable issue around the end of the year, if you remember correctly. So let's see if indeed we see some of that action
and
come
also
to play.
Don't forget that with no trade here Monday, there's also no data. And the most important days next week are Tuesday with German CEW and Thursday, all the European advanced PPIs for advanced purchasing managers indices for January. A real-time read on what's going on in Europe next Thursday.
Good stuff. Alan Rohrbeck, again, the founder of Rohr International. You can get him at Rohr-blog. We always have that link right here on our little Jack B. Show site. Always a pleasure. It's the fastest hour of my day. I'm Jack Berugin for Alan Rohrbeck. Have a wonderful night and an even better weekend. I'll be talking to you on Tuesday.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.